Praise God. This is Sunday morning, October the 24th. We're going to turn to Psalms 23. And we're going to read Psalms 23. And as we read Psalms 23, I want us to make this our declaration. I want to put this in every heart and every mouth. I believe this is the God's heart and God's desire for this to be in every believer's heart and every believer's confession and profession and mouth. And it's such a wonderful Psalms, and it is truly a decree. It's a decree of what you believe. It's a decree of who you are. It's a decree about what God is and who He is to you personally. This is such a personal relationship with God that we have. It's, you know, if I could live for someone else and walk out their salvation, I would, but I couldn't. Even if I wanted to, I can't. But we can look at Psalms 23 and hear the words that really need to be our words. Psalms 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." All week this week, I've been hearing in my spirit something that keeps saying to me, why do you do what you do? Why do people do what they do? Why do people do all the things that they get involved in? Why do we always get into so many things and do so many things and get involved in so much stuff? Why do we all do whatever it is we're doing? I've been thinking about that all week. Why do we do what we do? A lot of people, I don't think they really think about why they're doing what they're doing. What's the reason you do what you do? I think we've got to stop and say, oh, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at yourself and decide and see, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I go to church? Why do I pray? Why do I work? Why do I buy this? And why do I go here? And why do I do this? And why do I get involved in this organization? Or why do I do whatever it is you're doing? Ask yourself why. Why? Because if you can come back to Psalms 23 and make this your number one declaration, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, the I shall not want part is always good. I mean, everybody wants an I shall not want kind of life. Everyone, every Christian wants that. Every Christian knows that God has promised them provisions in the things of the kingdom of God. But the first part of the I shall not want is the shepherd part. The shepherd part has got to come first in us before we ever get to the I shall not want part. You see, I shall not want cannot precede the shepherd part. We got the I shall not want. Oh, God, I definitely want to live I shall not want kind of living. But we forget about the shepherd part. You see, the shepherd is the reason you have an I shall not want life. Without him being your shepherd, you will not have the I shall not want life. The I shall not want kind of living has to come after you make him your shepherd. He has to be your shepherd. If he's not your shepherd, you can just forget about I shall not want living, because it won't happen until he becomes the shepherd of the sheep. He's got to be your personal leader, your personal guide. He's got to be the captain of your salvation. He's got to be the author and the finish of your faith. He has to be your shepherd. Without him being your shepherd, you will have want. You will have lack. You will have problems. You will have circumstances, because he will lead you in things that are good. He won't lead you in things that are bad. If you're in a situation that's bad, I can promise you that he did not lead you there. If you've got a lack problem in your life, he did not lead you there, because the shepherd will never lead you into lack. He always leads you into I shall not want. Boy, I feel the preach on me this morning. I shall not want is because he is my shepherd. Every time I ever got away from him being my shepherd, I got myself into some things that was want situations. I want, I want, I want, I want. I need, I need, I need, I need. And all I could think about was me, me, me. He wasn't my shepherd at that time. He wasn't my shepherd. He wasn't leading me and guiding me and trust. I wasn't trusting the Lord. When he's your shepherd, I promise you, I can promise you by all my heart, the word of God is the truth. God cannot lie. He will lead you into green pastures. He will make you lie down in green pastures. You know, the words next to the scripture, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's what he will always do. If he's your shepherd and you're following him, He will never lead you into thorny places. He will never make you lie down in desert places. He will never make you lie down in want and problems and rocks and thistle and thorns. He just doesn't lead his sheep like that. If you've got problems in your life, it's because you aren't being led by the shepherd. He will lead you in the right places. He only will lead you and make you to lie down. You know, come on, let's go lie down. Let's lie down. Do you know what lying down represents? Rest. Woo, glory. Rest. He's resting to my soul. He makes me to lie down. I know how to lie down. I know how to quit trying to work. Quit trying to make it happen. Quit trying to struggle. Quit trying to worry. Quit worrying and quit fearing and quit being afraid of this and that. Lie down. Take a rest. Take a break. There's something about just, he's my shepherd. I do not want, and I lie down. I rest. Glory. I feel the preach. I love it when I feel the preach. Holy Ghost knows what we need. You know that? He knows what we need. I have to know. He's my shepherd. I have to know that with all my heart. I have to make him my shepherd. That's a choice. You see, that's a choice. I just can't just say, well, I think I'll let you be my shepherd today, Jesus. I think I'll let you lead me today. Because I'm kind of in a fix here, and I think you better lead me out of this mess. You know, it's always like convenient for us to be, we'll make you our shepherd today, Lord, because we need you to be that today. But then after we get all things all fixed up, good, everything's good and everything's right and we're resting again, then we just go do our own thing again. And we forget about the shepherd. We left him over on the other hill. Ooh, am I preaching to anybody? Glory. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's my decree. I know that. Now, I had to figure that out, that I better make him my shepherd, or life won't be easy. Life will be hard if he's not my shepherd, because he promised I shall not want kind of life when he's the shepherd. And he will make me to lie down in green pastures. He will lead me beside still waters, and he will restore my soul. He restoreth. That's a past tense. Thank God I couldn't have got into the still waters. I couldn't have got into lying down and resting if he hadn't restored my soul. My soul was a mess. You know, your mess is a lot of times between your ears. Your mess is in your mind. The way you look at your life, the way you look at yourself, the way you think about yourself, the way you think about other people, the way you do, why do you do what you do? Is between our, in our heads. We got a lot of stinky thinking going on. A lot of stinky thinking. So he restores that. He will restore that part of our thinking and get us thinking right. Get us listening right. Get us believing right. That mind, that will, the emotions of the soul needs to be restored to right ways of living and thinking. And it all begins with the very first words in this verse, in the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. You've got to do that first. Got to do that first. Now let's go to St. John chapter 15. And as I was praying this morning about the message, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to take Psalms 23 and bring it to where you are today. In the dispensation of grace. Because Psalms 23 is a decree under the old covenant. It was an old covenant decree. All that God said he would be, he said he would be in the old covenant. But we've got even greater and more precious promises than David had under that old covenant. We've got a new covenant. But the very same thing about the old covenant is still established today in the new covenant. And you can see it in the words of Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, You can do nothing. That promise, that statement, for without me, the shepherd, you can do nothing. I'm talking nothing. Nothing, nothing means nothing. Zero plus zero equals zero. Zero times zero equals zero. I don't care how you cut the zero, it's still zero. You want to perform? You want to accomplish? You want to have something in your lifetime? You want to be somebody or do something? You got to start with the shepherd. He's got to be your shepherd. And you've got to learn how to abide in the shepherd. This is where it comes to home. This is where it comes back into the new kingdom, the kingdom living, the kingdom of heaven living, in our day and grace dispensation of time, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he's telling you, you got to abide in me. You got to do this. For without me, zero. Nothing. It really is that clear. And so I thought, Lord, I got to learn. How do I learn how to abide in you? How do I learn to abide in the shepherd? How do I learn to abide? Stay close to my heels. Stay close to my side. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's staying close. That's abiding. That ain't just where you lay down and sleep at night. That's where you get up every day, and that's why you do what you do, because you're in an abiding kind of life. You're in a living a life of abiding. That's good. Living an abiding life. Well, what are you abiding in? I'm abiding in the shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the one who gives me I shall not want life. And without him, I can do nothing. That's what it's all about. Why do I do what I do? Why do I get up and do the things that I do? Why do you get up and go to work? And why do you get up and have a paycheck? And why do you worry about this? And why do you worry about that? Well, because I got to eat. I got to have clothes. I got to feed the children. I got to put a roof over my head. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this and I got to do that. And I've got this problem I got to fix. I mean, what would happen if I just lay down and did nothing? You know, that's a good question. Why do you do what you do? Why? I've been thinking about that all week. And I'm going to take you to Matthew 6. Why do we do what we do? For years did I work so hard? What was I working so hard for? Well, there's a reason I was working so hard. At least I thought there was. Matthew chapter 6, and I want to start with verse 19. This is Jesus now. This is our shepherd talking. Remember the one who leads us beside still waters? The one who restores the soul? The one who will make you lie down in green pastures? The one whose staff will protect you, he's the one who makes your enemies. This is the one who said this. He said, lay not up for yourselves. And I want you to underline the word yourselves, because pretty much everything we do is about us, if you start really thinking about it. Why do you do what you do? Well, it's about me. I gotta eat, I gotta have food, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. I mean, it's really about taking care of me. Well, he said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up, but I like the buts. Don't you love the buts? The buts in the situation make you stands out above the other thing, right? But lay up for yourselves, there's me again, lay up for you, yourselves, treasures in heaven. Well, I'm not in heaven. I'm still here, all stuck on this earth. I'm still concerned about here now. Heaven's fine. I'm planning to go there. But how can I lay up treasures for there? I ain't there yet. I'm here. Well, there's a way to do that. And it's through the shepherd of the sheep. He'll lead you and guide you into that way of living. That's why you should do what you do. this reason right here. Jesus has given us some insight. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, how in the world? I used to look at this and I think, how do I lay up treasures in heaven? I know how to make money. Believe me, I've made some money in my day. I've worked my whole life. I know how to get up and get ready for work and be on time, and I was a good steward to whatever I was given charge of. I know how to work. I know how to make money. I know how to save money. I know how to open up a bank account. I know how to do all that in the earth. I know how to lay up treasures on this earth. But Jesus has given us a commandment to not lay up treasures in the earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And look at the promise of that. If we will do this, he says, for where your treasure is, jump down to verse 21, for where that treasure is, wherever your treasure is, guess what? That's where your heart's going to be. That's where your heart is going to be. That's going to be your decree from your heart. Really and truly, we're all basically pretty self-centered. So if you have a treasure, your heart follows your treasure. Your heart's connected to your treasure. You cannot separate you from your treasure. That's what he's saying here. But is your treasure on earth? Or is your treasure in heaven? Where's your heart? That's really what he's saying. Is he your shepherd? Do you have an I shall not want life? Does he make you to lie down in green pastures? Does he restore your soul? Does he lead you beside still waters? That's the kind of life he's given us through his word. That's the life he's provided in the provision of this kind of life. But you cannot have it if you do not do ground one. This is ground zero right here. Really and truly, this is the hardest lesson for anyone to really get. You have to have ears to hear and eyes to see. You have to have revelation of this. And so when you get to the place where you know that eternity is right now, you see, this is the now life. Now faith is. This eternity started. Guess where eternity begins? It begins right now. My treasure is right now. Y'all getting this? I'm telling you. I see it. Heaven is right here. Heaven is living in me. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's in your heart. You're connected to heaven more than you're connected to this world when he's your shepherd. You're more connected to the things of the power and the kingdom of God when he is your shepherd. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, if he's not my shepherd, I have want. And that means I got to get about being busy about building a treasure right here so I won't have to want. I got to make sure I got plenty in my bank account. I got to make sure I work really hard. I got to get up every day and I got to pay the bills. I've got this to do, that to do, because if I don't do it, I will want. I'm going to want. It's just a fact. If I don't get out there and make it happen, I'm going to have some want. Not if he's your shepherd. If he's your shepherd, you don't have any want. That's the promise. That's the provision. If you do what he says. Lay up your treasures in heaven, in the things of the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he says, oh, he says so many neat things right here. He says that, you know what? We look at this life. You look at every circumstance with what? Eyeballs? Isn't eyeballs a receptor that brings information to our brains? We have sensory receptors. Like I can look at situations. I can look at the checking account. I can look at problems. I can analyze them in a head, my brain. I have the ability to think because God put that in me. And I have ears that hear, a mind that thinks. But the way you see life is what he's getting ready to talk about next. The way you see yourself. It's two-way street. The way you look at situations and the way you look at yourself and the way you look at God has everything to do with the wants of life. I shall not want kind of life. And this is what he says. The light, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. The way you look at life, the way you think, the way you see yourself, and the way you see things around you. That's what he says. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. That revelation word, light. Revelation. Scientists right now are still discovering new light spectrums they didn't know existed. Light means revelation, development. I believe the Greek word for light is development. It changes us. It makes us different. You put the photosia, you put the light to a camera's developer, the film, and you put it in the dark room. Remember the old-fashioned way of developing photographs? See, the light would come through that shutter of that lens, and it would implant that image up on that paper, and then you would take that special paper and develop it through special developing process, and it would come out an image. You see, the way you see yourself, the way your image of who you are, and the image that you have of who he is everything, and you being full of revelation of who he is has everything to do with your life. When you have the right image of who he is, and you're full of that image, you're full of his, he's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He makes me. Sometimes I don't want to lay down. Sometimes I want to get up and put up my dukes, and I want to fight, or I want to struggle, or I want to work. No, I'm going to make you lie down. I'm going to make you take a rest. I'll take care of this. You see, the image of who he is has got to be real in us. And as you begin to see him the way he wants you to see him, then your whole body can be full of light, which means revelation of who he is and what he wants you to be to him and him to you. And then that rest automatically begins to come. You're no longer having to struggle and work and do all this because you're no longer laying up treasures on earth. You realize, wow, I see it now. I got to lay up my treasures in heaven. There's a bigger plan. There's a bigger prospect. There's a bigger goal. And guess what? He'll take care of everything else because he promises. Read on. Just read on. He says, but if your eyes be evil. Now that word evil means selfish. It really is about being just about us. But if your eye be evil, actually in the Amplified, it's read this way. It says, but if your eye is unsound, that's what it says in the Amplified. If your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the very light in you, your conscious, is darkness. How dark or dense is that darkness? You know, if you've got blinders on and you've got blindfolds on, you know, you just kind of really, you could probably still manage to do some things, but you're not going to walk in the highest plan that God has for your life. Because we've got to have the revelation of heaven. He's my shepherd. I'm the sheep. He's leading me, and he'll never lead me into anything but good things and rest and peace and joy. And, you know, he's the shepherd, and I do not want when he's my shepherd. It's when I become my own shepherd that I start getting want. And it's when my eye becomes so dark or unsound. I like that Amplified version. Don't you like that? Your eye becomes unsound. You really don't have soundness and wholeness. And then verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Amplified says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise, be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. That's really it. The bottom line is he your shepherd? Is he really the one you're trusting in? And only revelation can bring, this kind of revelation knowledge can bring you to this place and have your soundness of mind in him. And learn how to live the eternal life right now. It's an eternal living. And look at verse 25, therefore. See the word therefore? Research very carefully why the word therefore is therefore. Because everything that has been said before, everything that has been talked about before is now a part, and this is the summation of what the therefore is getting ready to tell you. Therefore, because of all of the things I just shared, this is what Jesus said. I say to you, take no thought for your life. Sounds like an I shall not want life, doesn't it, to me. Take no thought for your life. Now, how in the world do you take no thought for your life? Well, is he your shepherd? He's the one taking thought for your life. You know, the shepherd is the one who's taking thought for you. He's already mindful of you. He already knows the problem before. You know, he sees the pathway ahead of us. He's got it already clearly ahead of him. Is he your captain of your salvation? Is he the author and the finisher of your faith? Is he the one that began the good work in you? He promised, I'll complete it. Paul said, he said, he that began a good work in you, did he do that? Well, he sure did. Saved me when I was the biggest mess you ever saw. He started a good work in me. Well, has he brought you this far? Is he going to drop you now? Had a little friend used to say that all the time. Well, he brought you this far. Has he dropped you yet? No. Have you ever missed a meal? No. Do you have plenty of clothes? Yeah. I never went naked. Never went hungry. I ain't never done without a thing. Because he's my shepherd. You see, we get this fear of lack and fear of want. Because we just don't think he's going to do what he says he'll do. Really, that's what the problem is. We're not really trusting the great shepherd of the sheep. We're not really trusting him to be God to me. But you have to do that. You have to say, he is my shepherd. I shall not want, and it's because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that good to know that he's my shepherd? And see, I can walk around all day long. Look at a problem. I'm seeing it with my eyes. I'm looking at it with my eyeballs. I'm perceiving it with my understanding. But I know he's my shepherd. I just let the shepherd take care of that. I just say, okay, he's my shepherd. See this, Lord, I know you saw it before I saw it. He's my shepherd. See, my eyes now becoming single. My understanding has become sound. I'm becoming revelation-minded, kingdom of God-minded. I'm beginning to see the perspective of heaven. And have you laid up treasures in heaven? Oh, yeah, buddy, you better believe I have. You better believe I've laid up some treasures in heaven. You better believe it, because I saw it a long time ago that I better start laying up some treasures in heaven. I've made some withdrawals out of those treasures. When there wasn't anything in the bank account, I still had treasure in heaven, and I was able to make a withdrawal and a claim and a demand out of heaven. And you know what? It always manifested. It always came forth, because I've done laid up some treasures. I just got some stuff. I got some accounts up there. You see, I've got a bigger bank account up there than I have over here in United Bank. I have a bigger bank account with the kingdom of God than I ever had down here on earth. And that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to see how big our treasure is in heaven. He wants you to see the great and exceeding precious promises that he's given the people of God. He wants you to see the kingdom of heaven. And it's bigger than the kingdom you'll ever build for yourself down here. Glory to God. Woo! I'm preaching this morning. See, I see it. Because my eyes single. I know where I'm going. I know who my God is. I know where I'm heading. I know where my treasure is. Glory to God. Now, I don't mean that I ain't got treasure here. Because he's definitely given me treasure here. He blesses me abundantly. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Sure, I got treasure. I got everything I could ever want in this life. I want for nothing. I do not want. I live on I do not want life because he's my shepherd. And I know how to lay up my treasures in heaven. I've got heavenly treasures. If I ever need a friend, I've been a friend. I need a friend, God. You say, well, if you want a friend, you got to first show yourself friendly. Well, I've done that for years. Well, I'll never be without a friend. I shall not ever want a friend. You need someone's shoulder to cry on. Well, I got that too. Because I've done laid up treasures in heaven for the times that I've let people cry on my shoulders. I've given up my time. There's always going to be people I can cry with. Because I've got I shall not want life. I shall not want for any good thing. They that trust the Lord shall not lack any good thing. That's the truth. Because I live and I shall not want life. He is my shepherd. Period. That's the way I live. And I've already laid up my treasures. See, I've learned how to not only lay up treasures, but I also know how to make withdrawals. You lay up treasures, you better be able to pull it back out. I know how to pull it out. I know how to speak the word. I know how to confess things. I know how to pray. I know how to confess. I know how to profess. And I know how to live in the things of the kingdom of God. Because that's where my treasure is. My treasure's there. My life is hidden in Christ. I have laid up my life in him. He cannot fail me. He cannot fail me. And that's why he says in verse 20, don't take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to, what you're going to put on the body, and you know, what are you going to, because he says, what you shall put on is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Well, it certainly is, because all that stuff is going to rust and wear out, and, you know, there's not a single thing in this room then in 100 years it'll look just like it does right now. Not a thing in here. Everything in here is getting worse by the minute. There's not a thing that's staying perfect. You know, evolutionists say things are getting better. No, no, no. If you just look around you, you set a chair in a room for 200 years, that chair may not anybody touch it, it will look like a piece of rag in 200 years. Because everything is being destroyed. Everything is decaying on this earth. It's not getting better. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And I want to get to this very last verse that I really was trying to get to. We could go on down and talk about these other things that Jesus told the disciples. He said, but go to verse 31 of chapter 6. Therefore, take no thought. See, our thinking will get us all in trouble. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Let me go back to the first question I asked. Why do we do what we do? This is basic here. Most people will say, well, I got to work and I got to eat and I got to have I got to have money to pay my bills and I got to do this and I got to do that. Well, do you really? Jesus said, don't take no thought for all that. But what did he tell you to do? Verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Goes right back to what Jesus said, without me, in St. John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Zero times zero equals nothing. Zero plus zero, add zero to zero, you're still going to get zero. Without Jesus, you can get nothing. Without Jesus, you have zero. You're going to end up with zero. But I'll tell you something, if you will look to him and you'll seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and learn about him, everything will be added to you. Everything you need. There will be no lack. There's no lack in the kingdom of God. He's not a stingy God. Jesus said this. He said, the devil, the thief, comes to steal, kill, destroy. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I know that's true. There's a devil that's killing, stealing, destroying. That is not my Heavenly Father involved in any of that stuff. He doesn't kill, he doesn't steal, he doesn't destroy. Well, the devil will come along and say, oh, but God did that because you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, and you wasn't good here. Oh, it was God that, no, God's punishing you. That is not true. He said, I'm the good shepherd. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Here's what I come to do. I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I just really believe that we live way below, heard it for years, and we all have heard it for years, we live below what God has provided, because we've not made him our shepherd, because he wants us to live in I shall not want life. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to live in rest. He only leads me I've never had the Lord lead me into anything bad, never. He's never led me into a problem. And I'm going to show you a couple of more verses here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, I always like the word therefore. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. I'm definitely not a debtor to my flesh because my flesh never did anything good for me. But Jesus has done everything for me. He died for me. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It means we got to get us out of the way so we can learn how to live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. He is your shepherd. He wants to lead you and guide you into truth. He really is my shepherd. I want to take us to another verse. It came to me this morning. It's in Genesis 15. And this is also another declaration. It's in Genesis 15, verse 1. And he really is this to me. He really is this right here, what I'm getting ready to share. This is who he is to me. I hope he's this to you, but he is definitely this to me. Verse 1 of chapter 15 of Genesis says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That is just exactly what I say all the time about the Lord. He is my God. He's my shield. And he's my exceeding great reward. I love it when the Lord rewards me, but he always will. He always rewards me. He is my shepherd. He is my shield. He is my exceeding great reward. Oh, good. Now, I've got a couple of other verses I want to take us to quickly. Psalms 103. It's another declaration. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, this is what he says he does, and this is what I decree he does for me. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor toward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place where thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is a but. But the mercy of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. That's so good. That's so good. Verse 18, to such as keep his commandment, and to them that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Blessed the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless you the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Is that not just a perfect picture of a shepherd? Is that not the perfect picture of someone trusting a shepherd to take care of them? That's who God is. That's who he is to us. I just do not fear. And I've laid up, I know how to lay up treasures in heaven. He gives all mine iniquities and heals all my diseases. Shepherd. Okay, Psalms 22:29. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. I just think we need to know that. I think we need to be reminded that I don't care. He may not be your shepherd, but it would be wise of you to make him your shepherd, because for one thing, you're going to die. Not a one of us can keep alive our own soul. And we're all going to stand before him, bow before him, and not a one of us can escape it. Not a one of us. 30 said, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And then Job 33:17 is another sobering thing. What he says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and stilleth their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide man and hide pride from man." You see, we're just so all about ourselves. We're also about our purposes, our plans, our wishes, our wants, our desires. We're all about us. And so sometimes God's got to withdraw that away from us, our purpose, the destiny we've already got figured out. And he's got to draw us aside and hide that pride, hide that away. And the reason he does it, and it goes on, it says, verse 18, "He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword." You see, if he doesn't get our attention, we will just absolutely lead ourselves into the biggest pit, into the biggest mess, into the biggest problems you've ever seen. You better get an ear to hear from God. Better learn to let him be your shepherd and do the things that Jesus said. Seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things, his way of looking at life, his way of thinking. Allow the eye of your life to be single. Can't serve two masters. And he says, the reason God will draw you aside and begin to speak to you is to keep you from killing yourself, keep you from getting into a big old pit you can't get out of, and from perishing by the sword. Verse 19, "He is chastened also with pain and upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that he cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near to the grave, and his life to the destroyers." You know, that's not a good place to be. He wants to show us the right way. Verse 26. Let's go on down and look at verse 26. "He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. All these things worketh God oftentimes with men or man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living." Isn't it just good to know? He's out for us. He's out for our good. Even when we don't even realize we're on the wrong track. How to live. Show us what to do. Father, I just seal this word this morning, thanking you for the revelation of it, why we do what we do, why we work, why we do this and that. And Lord, it's all about you, really. And give us that revelation, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.